are you?
Hello. Say, you're Fred Astaire. Hello.
All right, hello. I'm sorry, I can't quite place you. What line of business are you in?
I dance.
Oh, at home for the folks, picnics and that kind of thing?
Oh, no, no, in public.
On street corners?
Oh, no, on the screen, motion pictures.
Oh.
You do go to pictures that have dancing in them, don't you?
Well, I try to see them all. I go as often as I can.
Did you see a picture called Cover Girl?
Yes.
Well, who did all the dancing in that?
You're not Rita Hayworth.
No, I'm not, Ginger.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. That was a clip from the movie Ziegfeld Follies with Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire. Tonight at the Byam Theater in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust is presenting Gene Kelly, The Legacy, an evening with Patricia Ward Kelly. During this unique presentation, Patricia Ward Kelly, Gene Kelly's widow and biographer, presents an intimate portrait of the legendary dancer and film star, incorporating plenty of vintage movie clips to highlight Mr. Kelly's illustrious career. Patricia Ward Kelly joins me now in Studio A. It is great to have you with us here in Pittsburgh, in person in our studio. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank you for having me, Paul. This is great.
So the clip we heard, does that kind of sum up the way that Gene Kelly had to be kind of a scrapper in terms of making his way in the world of the Hollywood elite?
Oh, that's an interesting way to sum that up. I hadn't thought of it that way. But yes, Gene was very distinct among the Hollywood elite. He was kind of the outcast. He wasn't in the upper crust. And in fact, he used to say that he wasn't even invited to the Basil Rathbone house. He was the lower middle-income guy, you know, and started with obviously the Pittsburgh roots, which were very important for him, but very distinct from an Astaire who hung out with the Vanderbilts and the Whitneys. That was not Gene Kelly.
And how did Gene Kelly, you know, here he was standing in that clip, and I'm sure it's easy for a lot of people to just create that visual image in their minds of Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire there on the screen together. How did Gene Kelly change the way that men danced in the movies? Because the Fred Astaire style was certainly not the Gene Kelly style.
Well, Fred Astaire continued a European tradition of dancing, of ballroom dancing on polished floors, and did it beautifully, obviously. But Gene, after growing up in the Depression here in Pittsburgh, decided that he didn't want to do that. He wanted to dance more like the people he knew, more as the common man. But there was nothing like it. There was no model for that. So he had to try to figure out, how does an American male dance? How does an American male look? And again, there was no model. So he had to create a particularly American style of dance based on sports. It came out of his hockey playing here in Pittsburgh and baseball playing. And if you look at the way he looks on film, that's all new. You never saw that before. You never saw a guy in a T-shirt and khaki pants and that rolled up with loafers. And that was all very well thought out. Gene was a very conscious decision of what to wear and how to wear it. He had his pants cut very tight along his hips and in his thighs so that, you know, ideally he would have come out. He always said, you know, ideally the best uniform would be a ballet leotard. But if you're playing a guy on the street, you can't come out in fifth position in a leotard. So he's thought, okay, what's the closest thing? Well, you wear a T-shirt that's very, very tight to your body, and you wear khaki pants that are cut really tight. And then you also wear loafers that were specially handmade, and it's a very supple leather, so it looks like a guy's shoe, but actually it bends like a ballet slipper, so he could bend his toes, and you had a perfect balletic line. So he was always looking for the leanest line of the body and the most graceful line, and still to come out and appear like a guy.
All these things that you don't think about, but that all make sense. And when you wonder how does a man who, you know, has the build, and he had the biceps, he had the shoulders back, the chest out, you know, all of that thing that they tell you to do when you're in the military, he presented that physique. But in order to do that, he had to make these kinds of adjustments in terms of the wardrobe. So that all makes sense.
It was all very conscious. And then also quite literally taking dance into the streets, which was distinct, again, from an Astaire or in all the predecessors, because before, dance was usually done on a stage or in a ballroom,
right.
And you could often cut the dance out of the picture. It didn't further the plot, and Jean's whole idea was that you use dance and movement to tell the story, and then his whole thing was how he really wished to be remembered was for changing the look of dance on film and using the camera in a new way. And by taking the dance into the streets, you can have – he can move forward toward the camera with a kinetic energy. So he's roller skating toward it, or he's dancing in the rain toward it. And it has a much more explosive feeling and three-dimensional feeling, which you lose with the camera.
You were talking about Gene Kelly's athleticism. And is that where the whole masculine style comes from, is his upbringing playing sports? And in the old days, you know, you played baseball in a sandlot. You might play hockey in the street. You didn't necessarily have the best facilities available to play your sports.
Well, exactly. And it was his. He said his father used to ice the backyard in the winter, and they'd play hockey in the backyard and skate down the streets in East Liberty, where he grew up. And also they would play on the pond in Homewood Cemetery. And he said he used to beat the bejesus out of each other. And he said we'd fight to the death. He said you'd poke check your mother out of the way. But interestingly, it also came out of another thing in East Liberty. It was going to the theater. And what Gene did on any chance he could get would be to go to the movies. And in those days, he saw his great heroes, Douglas Fairbanks Sr. and Lon Chaney Sr., and even Buster Keaton, and he would see these men, and he said to me later on that he didn't think about it at the time, but what he realized later on, decades later, was that what really resonated with him as a little boy was the fact that these were extremely masculine, athletic men who could also move gracefully and beautifully and had wit and charm and humor. And so it was shaped by – his style was shaped by many, many different influences. He was like a sponge. He would go to all the vaudeville houses here, like the Gaiety, which is now the Byam, where I'll be tonight. And he just picked up whatever he needed to make his own style.
What are the best examples of this particular style? Certainly the pirate ballet from the movie The Pirate comes to mind, or Slaughter on 10th Avenue. What would you say?
Well, it's interesting. You've named two great examples. Slaughter on 10th Avenue, it's a classic thing if you look at what he's wearing in that very, very tight purple T-shirt and black pants. And it's very sleek, balletic line. I think that the newspaper dance in Summer Stock is really – it's very contemporary too. That's the other thing that you have to keep in mind with Gene, is that he was so far ahead of his time in what he created that he is still the go-to guy for dancers and choreographers, not only tap and modern, but for classical ballet dancers and definitely choreographers, because there's really no one who supplanted that. And the stuff was, as I say, generations ahead, so it's still relevant. And I love the roller skating number in It's Always Fair Weather. I think that's a classic example. And to the music of the great Andre Previn. And then that was a number that he did in amateur nights here around Pittsburgh. He roller skated. And you see, he said it was much more athletic what he did here in Pittsburgh, but it was a version of that in film.
So is it safe to say that what Gene Kelly, among the many things that he brought to the screen as a dancer, that a certain Pittsburgh style of dance or a way of expressing yourself, and even maybe to make it more specific, the East Liberty style, that's what we're seeing in what he brought to Hollywood?
Well, I think that's a good way to put it, I guess, in the sense that it certainly came out of here, and all of the elements of his upbringing and the, as I say, growing up in the lower middle class neighborhood and having, as you used a good word, scrapping. I mean, he had to really kind of find his way because he was a little guy. He was small for his age, and he had skipped a grade. And And his mother sent him off to dance school as a little boy, dressed in these little short pants and Buster Brown collars and polished shoes. And the little boys would wait on the corner and beat him up every time he came home. So he had to learn how to kind of defend himself and didn't enjoy it. He hated it, but it developed.
Obviously, he wouldn't enjoy the getting beaten up part, but did he enjoy the dancing?
Oh, he hated the dancing.
Really?
Oh, he said that it was for the birds. It was for sissies. He thought it was silly. You'd bend over and hand a girl a rose. But then he got into high school and realized that girls liked a guy who could dance. So he went back to dance school on his own accord. And it came very easily to him. He said any form of movement was very, very easy throughout his whole life.
Yeah, I remember the big Sadie Hawkins Day dance at Peabody, which was his high school. Right. I bet he got a lot of offers for that. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Patricia Ward Kelly, Gene Kelly's widow and biographer. Tonight, she is presenting Gene Kelly, The Legacy at the Byam Theater. And if you have a Gene Kelly question or would like to join the conversation, maybe you have something that you've always wanted to know about Gene Kelly but were afraid to ask, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. We're running a little short on time, but we have a few minutes left for questions at 412-246-2002. Who are the dancers that Gene Kelly influenced? I'm guessing there were a lot of them.
Oh, it's legion. I mean, it's really – I was just with the San Francisco Ballet. Excuse me.
You've been talking a lot on this trip, haven't you?
I've been talking a lot. I'm sorry. Yes. And it's really – and it's hip-hop dancers. I mean, it's break dancers. It's every tap dancer. And it's all around the world. I mean, it's the Royal Danish Ballet. It's the Royal Ballet in London. I think it's amazing, and I think that's one of the nicest things about taking this legacy show around the world, is that you meet so many people that he's touched in a particular way. And it's pretty exciting that he's been gone for 18 years and he's still generating this kind of interest. So,
what can Gene Kelly fans expect to see tonight, especially when it comes to learning new things about Gene Kelly?
Well, it's a very unique look at the man, and it's really behind the scenes. And it's Gene as people really don't know him, but it's Gene as Gene described himself to me. I had the great privilege of recording him almost every day for over 10 years. He brought me out from the East Coast to write his memoir and then married me 5 years into the process. And so it's really an intimate look at him. It's Gene on Gene or Gene Kelly Unplugged. And you'll see extraordinary film clips and also then hear why he did what he did and what moved him to do what he did. And then also a bit about who he was and the fact that he spoke French fluently and Yiddish and was the Shabbos Goy here at the Beth Shalom Shul and read a book a day. And also that he was this extraordinary romantic. I think that's a nice part of the show.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Patricia Ward Kelly. We have Sue in Point Breeze. Sue, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I just started listening to your show about 10 minutes ago, so perhaps you addressed this before that. But here's my question. My mom is 85 years old and just told me for the first time a couple months ago that she took dance lessons as a little girl from a school run by Gene Kelly's parents, and it was the school was located in Squirrel Hill. And I had never heard this before from anyone, and was wondering if you had any insights or information about that.
Well, yes, it was the Gene Kelly Studio of the Dance. Gene started the dance school. He first started teaching in his basement, and then he got hired to teach at the Beth Shalom Shul, and then ultimately opened the Gene Kelly Studio of the Dance. So there are a lot of people in Squirrel Hill who took dance from Gene or from Gene's brother and sister. But that's an accurate story. That's great.
Do you happen to know where the school was located in Squirrel Hill?
Well, there was, I'm going to have to get the address. If you send Paul your information, then I'll give you the exact address. There was a studio in Squirrel Hill, and then there was also a school in Johnstown, and I can get you both of those.
Sue, why don't you stay on the line, and we will the folks back in the control room will get the information from you, and we'll pass that along to Patricia. Who would you say was the dance partner or partners on screen that were best suited to Gene's style of dancing?
Well, everyone always asked who his favorite partner was, and Gene, unlike Astaire, didn't have a standard partner. Each person
he did not have a Ginger Rogers per se.
Each was chosen for a particular role, so you can't imagine interchanging those. So it was really more that he said Vera Ellen was the best overall dancer, but the public didn't buy her. He said Jerry the Mouse was his favorite.
Why is it so important for you, Patricia, to connect him to young people? Because I know one of the things that you're here for are the Gene Kelly Awards coming up on Saturday.
Well, I think that's what really is relevant to me, is to see that Gene continues to inspire young people. Because if they're introduced to him, they get him. And they also what Gene didn't want people to mimic what he did. He wanted them to take what he did and go beyond and break new ground. And I think that, he's, as I say, he's been gone for 18 years. But what's so amazing is that this legacy just continues to roll forward. And it's exciting. And when people come up, young people come up and say, oh, my God, he's my hero.
Speaking of which, we'll take one last call here from Chris in Squirrel Hill. Chris, we're running short on time, but go ahead.
That's okay. I just would like to say, Patricia, we met several years ago when you spoke at North Hills High School. It was a wonderful presentation. It really had a great impact on the kids. I encourage everybody who's listening, if they can, to come and see you tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris. I remember North Hills very well. That was a great afternoon.
Yes, and I also wanted to say that not long after that, my wife and I began swing dancing. And Gene is an inspiration to me because I'm also short of stature. And so I know it sounds kind of silly, but when I'm out on the dance floor, I try to emulate a bit of what I've seen with Gene Kelly do.
Well, I'm glad you're doing that, because Gene always thought that the ballroom dancing was was very romantic. It was a form of courtship and a way to put your arm around a girl. And so I always encourage young people to learn how to dance, because it's an extraordinary thing to share.
It's great. Well, thank you, and best of luck with your show.
Great. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Thanks for sharing that story. And unfortunately, we've come to time, but it's been a fascinating visit. And again, tonight, Patricia Ward Kelly is presenting, along with the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, the Gene Kelly, The Legacy presentation at the Byam Theater. If you have a time to see this show tonight, by all means, it gets underway at 7:30.
Right.
So get on down to the Byam Theater for Gene Kelly, The Legacy. Patricia Ward Kelly is Gene Kelly's widow and biographer and a friend of the program, and we're happy to have had you on Essential Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Paul. It's really been a delightful time.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.